Hare Krishna, we are all welcome for continuity of our Bhakti Vaibhav study, Canto 4 and Chapter 7. Lord sacrifice, the sacrifice performed by Daksha, it means the sacrifice which was destroyed because of the Vaishnava Aparad to a great Vaishnava Lord Shiva. The Shiva was pacified by the Brahma and demigods by offering prayers, and they all came to the site of the sacrifice, and then Daksha was again revived back to life, and the area of the sacrifice was sanctified, and when they put the first oblation, then Lord Vishnu appeared there with 800 form, and then one by one from Daksha onward they were offering prayers to Lord Vishnu. So in this section now we are reading the prayers offered by Vedas personified. So Vedas personified, it means Vedas has a personality. We know the Shruti Chari Gopiya, the gopis in a Vrindavan, these are Shrutis, means the Richaya, Veda Richaya, means the hymns of the Vedas, they take the form of the gopis in Vrindavan. Similarly, the Veda personified, there is also prayers of the Veda personified in the 10th canto of Bhagavatam, the last part. So, this is Veda personified, they are praying. So, verse 46 onward, we will just start. Tvam puragam rasaya mahashukaro. Danstaraya padminim varanindro yatha. Stoyamano nadal lilaya yogibhir. Vyo javaharatha trahi gatraha yagna kartoho. So Veda personified, they are speaking about the one pastime of the Supreme Lord as Varahadev. Varahadev is considered Yajna Murti. Varahadev is Yajna Murti. Yajna personified. This is called Yajna Murti. Varahadev is called Yajna Murti. And Varahadev and Narasingha Dev, they are the incarnation of anger of the Supreme Lord. The Supreme Lord shows his anger in the form of Narasingha Dev and Varahadev. And Varahadev is considered as Yajna Murti. So they are addressing to the, it's not a problem for you because of this, you may come a little far near, or you're far friend. No. It's okay? Alright. So the translation, dear Lord, O personified Vedic knowledge, in the past millennium, a long, long ago, when you appeared as a great boar incarnation, Varahadev, you picked up the world, means earth, from the water, means Garbhodak ocean. As an elephant picks up the lotus flower from the lake, it was so insignificant for you to pick up the whole planet on your tusk. When you vibrated transcendental sound in the gigantic form of the boar, the sound was accepted as sacrificial hymns. The great sages like Sanak meditated upon it and offered prayers to your glorification. So, Lord Varahadev is Yajna Murti, and Srila Prabhupada's purport is in the last line, Trai Gatra. Traigatra, which means that transcendental form of the Lord is the Veda. Tri is Veda. Gatra is a form. The form of the Lord is Vedas. Anyone who engages in the worship of the deity, now Srila Prabhupada is giving a similarity. Anybody who is worshipping the deity or the form of the Lord in the temple is understood to be studying all the Vedas 24 hours a day. And what type of yajna is a study of the Veda? What type of yajna, study of Veda is called? Swadhyaya yajna. Swadhyaya yajna. This is a yajna. So if somebody is worshipping the deity, it means he is studying all the Vedas. Trayi Gatra means form of the Lord is Vedas. So Srila Prabhupada says, even the neophyte, when they are engaged in the service of the deities, it is complete study of the Vedas. If they are doing this deity worship, it means they have already completed all the Vedic studies. How is that? Srila Prabhupada is quoting the verse from Bhagavad Gita. Vaidesha sarver aham ev vedyo. So what is the purpose of studying Vedas? To know Krishna. And they are worshipping Lord Krishna, Radha Krishna. It means they have understood all the Vedas. So this is here. Yagna kartu means form of the sacrifice. So this varaha is called yagya murti. Okay, next verse. Now the Vedas are praying to the Supreme Lord. Dear Lord, we were awaiting your audience. We want to see you. Because we have been unable to perform the yajna according to the Vedic rituals. Because it was all destroyed by the followers of Lord Shiva. We pray unto you, therefore, be pleased with us. Prasidatam. The word in Sanskrit for please is proceed. Prasida, prasada, they all means mercy. Simply by chanting your holy name, see this third line in the verse, Namani Kirtiyamane Narabhir Namani Yagneshate. Kirti bhi means chanting, and Narabhir means by any person. It must be Narabhir means any person. What is the meaning of Nirbhir?
By person,
Nirbhir, okay. And Namani, your names. Yagnaish, or the master of the sacrifice, Lord of the sacrifice, okay. So this is the most important. You know, Prabhupada has taken this one word from the periods of the Vedas to chant the holy name in a purport. What is the result of chanting holy name? One surpass all obstacles, all the disturbances are the obstacles on the path of worship, devotional service, yajna, and everything completely disappear. We offer respectful obeisance unto you in your presence. Tasmai namaha. Therefore, we offer our obeisance unto you because your presence is auspicious. Srila Prabhupada's purport is simply by chanting your holy name, we can surpass all obstacles. So, this is the most important part. The rest is just the history. So, what Srila Prabhupada is focusing on the point is, even if you worship some demigods, they cannot protect you. Still there will be obstacles. And Srila Prabhupada is giving example of even Say, Ravan was a great devotee of Lord Shiva, but when Ram wanted to kill him, Shiva could not protect him. So similarly, all Hiranyakashipu, they are devotees of Brahma, but when time comes, nobody can protect them. So it's the holy name only of the Vishnu, not of any other demigod. So now the prayers are over in one sense. When the prayers are over, then the next topic is, now Maitreya will speak, because now is the time for Maitreya to comment. So what Maitreya is saying, let's hear. Maitreya said, after Lord Vishnu was glorified by all present, Daksha, his consciousness purified. What happened to Daksha? Hearing all these prayers, his consciousness is purified. By seeing Shiva, he was purified, and then by seeing, hearing the prayers of the all these Vaishnavas, his consciousness was purified. Can you give some example? Similarly, somebody's consciousness purified by hearing the talk of the Vaishnavas. Ajamil, when he was hearing Vishnu Dutas, my consciousness purified and determined that I am now going to chant the holy name properly. So simply is seeing Vaishnava, association of the devotees or the Lord is purifying. Association of the Lord is purifying right now, and before the association of the Lord Shiva, which is the great Vaishnava, is purifying. Like Ajamil was purified from all his non-Brahmanical activities simply by seeing Vishnu Dutas. And Srila Prabhupada writes there in commentary, our devotees are Vishnu Dutas. They are traversing all over the world to deliver the people like Ajamil. So devotees are Vishnu Dutas, means they are Vaishnavas. Okay. And what when consciousness is purified, what did he do? Arrange to begin again the yajna which had been devastated by the followers of the Shiva. Now they are restarting the yajna. Next verse. Well, we can read this verse, okay? Bhagavan Svena Bhagena Sarvatma Sarvabhaga Bhuka Daksham Bhubhasha Abhasya Priyamana Ivanangaha. The last word is addressed to Vidura. Ananga means free from sin. Okay? And Bhagavan Svena Bhagena, Bhagavan has taken only his share. But though Sarvatma Sarvabhuka, though he is the master of the yajna, he can take everything. Sarvabhuka, everything is for him. But still he has only taken his share. He gave the prasad to the rest. Daksham Bhasha Abhasya. So then what did Lord do after taking his share and distributing the other prasad to the others? He spoke to the Daksha. So Maitreya continued, my dear sinless Vidura. Anagha. Anagha means sinless. Lord Vishnu is actually the enjoyer of all result of all sacrifice. Okay? And what verse is coming in your mind? Bhoktaram yagya tapasam. Lord is the Bhokta, okay? Yet because of his being the super soul of all living entities, because he loves everybody. Super soul of all living entities mean he loves everybody. Because the word below is Priyamanaya. This is most important. Lord is Sarvatma. Whenever you get this word Sarvatma anywhere, Bhagavan api Vishwatma, Bhagavan api Sarvatma. Sarvatma, Vishwatma means the super soul, and which means the Sohird Sarvabhutana. Which means Sohird Sarvabhutana means the well-wishing friend. Well-wishing friend means he loves them. That is the most This is the actual meaning. Lord loves us. Only we have to reciprocate by loving Him. That's the whole science of Krishna consciousness. Krishna loves us. We have to reciprocate by reviving our love for Krishna. So because He loves us, this is Sarvatma, Sohirda. Okay, this is the word you just, what is the inner meaning of the word, means He loves all. He was satisfied simply with His share of the sacrificial offering. His only share, Vishnu's share. He did not, though He can have everything, but still only He accepted His share and He was satisfied. He therefore addressed Daksha in a pleasing attitude. So then now Lord Vishnu is speaking to the Daksha. What He will speak, do you think? What do you expect what He will speak? I am asking this to just know whether you have read or not.
Oh.
And you have not read. Come prepare for at least that if you once read that, then when we discuss you can relish it. What He will speak, naturally He will speak, there is no difference between all three because we all are Guna Avatar. There is no difference between us three. Anybody who distinguish that they are independent of me and they are separate from me, and then they will never be successful. That will be the whole purport of all these verses. Nobody should, even the living entities are also non-different from me because they are my part. The energy and energetic are non-different. But everything is energy of the Supreme Lord. So ultimate sense, there is nothing different from Krishna. If anything we see different from Krishna, that is called Maya. This is second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaturshloki Bhagavatam. Anything different from me is Maya. If you think anything is not related to the Krishna, it means it is Maya. So He will only, in this address to the Daksha, focus that don't see anything different from me. Either they are Maya, either they are empowered by me as these three Guna Avatara, or else they are Maya energies. So they are none different than me. Is it okay? Okay, let's see the purport of this verse by Maitreya. Srila Prabhupada is speaking, first part is Bhoktaram Yajna. He is the enjoyer of all sacrifices. That is all right. Why He accepted the share of the sacrifice? He is Atmaram. He don't need anything. He is self-sufficient. Why He accepted? Go to the line 6. But He accepts the offerings of the yajna because of His friendly attitude towards all living entities. Sohird sarvabhutana. Friendly attitude means sohird sarvabhutana. Otherwise, how can we say Krishna is friend to everybody? Friendly attitude towards all living entities means well-wishing friend. And what is the name? Okay, you will come across in the last part of this chapter. Puranjan is always accompanied by Agyata Mitra. Puranjan means soul, accompanied by Agyata Mitra means unknown friend. Krishna considers always friend, but we don't know Him. He is our friend, but we don't know Him. That is our problem. Is it okay? So why Lord Vishnu accepted the sacrifice? Because of friendly, He is friendly, so He accepted. And then Srila Prabhupada says same thing. In 9th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, anything, patram pushpam phalam toyam yoga bhakta prachati. So what are the example of all these things? Who offered the patra, who offered the pushpa, who offered the phala, fruit, leaf? Vidrani offered what? Fruit. Banana. Okay. Banana.
Shabri
also offered the bear fruit. Okay. Berry. So the fruit part is over. who offered the leaf. So Tulsi is offered by whom? Brijbasi is during the Govardhan Puja. Okay. Anybody else? Other leaf offered? Tulsi, again Tulsi. Leaf means here Tulsi. And leafy vegetables were offered by the Vidur afterwards, cooking the green vegetables, spinach. Also, Draupadi, from her part, Krishna got only a little piece of spinach something. He satisfied, and Durvasa was satisfied. And Satyabhama, when she sold Krishna to Narada, and she was weighing the Krishna with all the ornaments and jewelry, nothing was helping till Rukmani put it. Leaf of Tulsi. That's awesome. So who is the, who offered the flower?
Gajendra.
Huh? Who? Pandavas offered? There is a flower, but that is given to Draupadi, not to Krishna. The special flower came. Golden lotus, fragrant golden one. So offering flowers. Any other fruit? Special dua, Gokul Leela. The fruit vendor. Yeah, gave everything to Krishna. Who, water? Water and leaf together? Advaita Acharya with the Ganga water and Tulsi leaf offered to the Salangram Shila. He invited Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to appear. Okay? Well, this is not part of this, this is part of Bhakti Shastri, all these verses. Okay, next, go to the purport. As super soul, he has such a friendly attitude towards all living entities. So make this point that he, Krishna, is our friend. So, another point, after that is another point. Can you see the another point? The another point here is that he does not encroach upon another's share. In the yajna, there is a share for demigods, Shiva, Brahma. Okay? So which is the verse from the Upanishad, you know, nobody should encroach. Isha, Vasha, Idam, Sarvam. So if Krishna, if Vishnu himself encroached, then how can he say, tell others, don't approach? You understand? So he has to be exemplary. Thank you. Cup cold. Yes. The Vedic principle is don't encroach on somebody else here. And if Lord approach himself, then how he can be exemplary? So this verse you in Bhagavad Gita you all know, Yadyad Acharati Sreshta, right? What is the next verse after that? What do you expect the next verse? Next verse is, I have nothing to do, it's what I am doing. So Krishna is presenting as Sreshta. As exemplary. So here Vishnu is acting as exemplary. This that Bhagavad Gita next verse after the as the greatest do the common man follow. And then Krishna says, I have nothing to do but still I am doing everything because I want to set an example. So here Lord Vishnu is setting an example. Then Srila Prabhupada has a purport. Indirectly he indicated that he was not satisfied with Daksha, trying to deny Lord Shiva his share. Okay? Now, why Maitreya addressed Vidura as sinless? The answer is, Maitreya addressed Vidura as sinless because Vidura was a pure Vaishnava and never committed any offense to any demigod. This is for our personal realization. See the last line again. Although Vaishnava accept Lord Vishnu as the supreme, they are not prone to offend demigods. They give the demigods proper respect. Is it okay? This purport is for personal realization, not offend any demigod. So Vidura is sinless because he never offended. It means if we offend demigods, it is a Vaishnava aparadha. Worship of the demigod is condemned, but not demigods are condemned. There is a difference between the two. The Vaishnava accepts Lord Shiva as the best Vaishnava. For a Vaishnava, there is no possibility of offending any demigod. And the demigod are also pleased with Vaishnava because they are faultless devotees of Krishna. So this purport of verse 49 is most important for preaching purpose and our personal realization. We should be respectful to all demigods and especially to Lord Shiva. Now Lord Vishnu is speaking. 3-4 verses. Sri Bhagavan Vacha Aham Brahmacha Sarvascha Jagatta Karanam Param Atmeshwaraha Upadrishta Swayam Drikkaha Avisheshanaha. So Lord Vishnu, so Sri Bhagavan Vacha, it's not even said Vishnu. Till this time, whoever is spoken, their name is there. This is a simple way to tell people that who is God. Open any scripture. Even the Shiva is speaking, it's a Lord Shiva spoke. When Brahma is speaking, Brahma spoke. Dhritarashtra is speaking, Dhritarashtra Vacha. Arjuna is speaking, Arjuna Vacha. When Krishna is speaking, Vishnu is speaking, Sri Bhagavan Vacha. So they are not Bhagavan, but he is Bhagavan. And this will be Sri Bhagavan. So Sri Bhagavan Vacha. So this is a common sense. Any person who can, little intelligence can say, rest all are not God, Bhagavan, but this is a Bhagavan. Because their names are there. Indra Vacha, Shiva Vacha, Brahma Vacha. There is no Sri Bhagavan Vacha. Just common sense. People can be convinced by common sense. There's no need of being a big scholar. Just open any book and you see who is God. Okay, what is Lord Vishnu saying? Aham means I. Brahma is Brahma. And Sarvas means Shiva. Jagat Karanam. We are the cause of this material world. Because we are all three in the same category. Which category? As a Guna Avatar. As a guna avatar, we are same. Because we are all incarnation of three modes of material nature to govern this jagat. So they are called jagat karanam param. Supreme cause of this material world. And again, you immediately, it should come in your mind in preaching, oh yes, Atri was calling Jagdish and all three came. So all three are Jagdish. All three are the, so they all came to Atri. So this is just correlate these two. Atma Ishwara Upadrishta. Atma Ishwara, the super soul. Upadrishta. This is Bhagavad Gita verse. Upadrishta, Anumanta, Bharata, Bhoktva, this is super soul. Swayam Drik. Upadrishta is the means. Upadrishta, we know the witness. Self-sufficient. There's no difference, okay? The Lord Vishnu replied, he spoke, Brahma and Shiva and I are the supreme cause of material manifestation, okay? For first two lines of the verse. I am the super soul, they are not super soul. There's a difference. Now it will come in a, after a while, but you just keep in your mind fixed. Brahma and Vishnu has also super soul in their heart. Vishnu is also super soul in the heart of Brahma and Shiva. So this is the difference between the three. I am super soul, they are not super soul. They may know everything, but they are not super soul. Is it okay? This is the difference, yeah. Vishnu?
Does not have super soul.
He is super soul. He don't have a super soul. He is super soul. Yeah. And what is the function of super soul? And the self, I am super soul, therefore I am the self-sufficient witness. As a super soul, I am witness and self-sufficient. But impersonally, there is no difference between impersonally, there is no difference. What is this? Impersonally, there is no difference. Impersonally, see the word Prabhupada used. But impersonally, there is no difference between Brahma, Lord, Shiva, and me. Impersonally means energy. When we say anything about Supreme Lord, impersonal means is energy. So Brahma is energy, Jiva. Shiva is also his expansion as a Vishnu. So because they are impersonally, we all are one. So whenever the word impersonal comes, how Lord is pervading everywhere impersonally as energy. The all Jivas are also, the whole purpose is focus on this one subject matter to understand. So Srila Prabhupada first giving a history, Brahma is born of the Vishnu and Lord Shiva is born of the Brahma. Okay? So Narayan, there was before Narayan there was no Brahma and Shiva because they came out of Vishnu. So they were not before. Okay? Therefore, Narayan or Vishnu is the origin of Brahma and Shiva. They are manifested after creation. They were not before creation. Is it okay? So they are created afterwards and then they took the responsibility of creation. How? They are guided from within. Tene Brahma Hirde. Srila Prabhupada is quoting this verse. What it means, Tene Brahma Hirde. As a super soul, he inspired them to all these things. So, is it okay? And Bhagavad Gita says, they don't know me because I am the origin of them. Then Srila Prabhupada is just quoting other verses that Lord Vishnu is origin of everything. So the rest of the purport is origin of everything, okay? This is Chaturshloki Gita. Aham Sarvasya Prabhav. I am origin of everything. That's all right. Whatever we see is an interaction of energy, and because energy is generated from him, he is both cause and effect. Simultaneously, everything is different and the same. It is said everything is Brahma. Sarva kalva idam Brahma. In the highest vision, nothing is beyond Brahma, and therefore Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva are certainly non-different from him, means Vishnu. Is it okay? How energy and energetic? All living entities are also energy, so they are non-different than Supreme Lord. There is no difference. So which philosophy is this? Achintya bheda bheda tattva. Okay? Next verse is spoken by Lord Vishnu. Atma mayam samavishya soham guna mayim dveja srajan rakshan haran vishvam dadare sangyam kriyachitam kriyachitam. So Lord Vishnu is saying, Lord Vishnu continued, my dear Daksha, Daksha means Dveja, you are Brahman. I am the original person, personality of Godhead, but in order to create, maintain and annihilate this cosmic manifestation, I act through my material energy. And according to the different grades of the activity, my representation are differently named. My representation means my Brahma is my representative, Shiva is my representative for creation and annihilation. They are differently named, but they are my energy. So the rest of the part, the purport is, Srila Prabhupada's purport is 7th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, superior energy, inferior energy, para and apara shakti. But go from below, line 5. Can you see the line 5? Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva are qualitative incarnation of Vishnu as Guna Avatar. And Vishnu with them accept control of the quality of goodness. Therefore he is also a qualitative incarnation like Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma. Actually, the different names exist for different directions. Otherwise, origin is one only. As a Guna Avatar, they are one. Next verse is spoken by Lord Shiva. Lord Vishnu. Tasmin brahmane advishtye kevale paramatmane brahma rudrau cha bhutane bhedanagno anupashyate. Lord Vishnu continued, one who is not in proper knowledge thinks that demigods like Brahma and Shiva are independent. Or he even thinks that the living entities are independent. They are dependent on me because I am the source of their incarnation. So this verse has this third line. The Vishnu is super soul even of Brahma and Shiva. This is a information, okay? And today I think we'll reach to the Dhruva Maharaj's part, and which we will come across that how super soul function. Dhruva was going to find God, and Narada was knowing that I have to help him. How? Then Srila Prabhupada explained the mechanism. Sincere desire of Dhruva was understood by Paramatma, Super Soul, And then super soul in the heart of Narada has inspired him to go and give the direction to Dhruva Maharaj to reach the Supreme Lord. So this is the mechanism. Demigods don't have a super soul. So this is also Bhagavad Gita verse. That when you want to worship demigod, I give you the intelligence. I give you the shardha. I give you the faith. Then demigod give fulfill your desire. I sanction that. How? Same way. I smell your feeling as a Paramatma that you must want to worship so and so demigod. And then I tell to that demigod that you want to worship him and give him this benediction because I am super soul. Demigod don't know that you are worshipping him. So I as a super soul is doing all these activities. This is a mechanism. Okay? So next verse 53, still Supreme Lord is speaking.
Yatha puman na swageshu swangeshu shiraha pani adeshu kache parke buddhim kurote evam bhuteshu matparaha.
A person with average intelligence does not think the head and other parts of the body to be separate. Huh? Head and other parts are not separate. If there is a pain in any one part, the whole body is focused on that. So they are one. Similarly, this is an analogy. My devotees does not differentiate Vishnu, the all-pervading personality of the Godhead, from anything or any living entities. Now, Srila Prabhupada's purpose is, well, there is a disease in the body. This is an example. Then, chapter 5, verse 18, what is there? Pandita Samadarshana. Because there is a super soul in everybody. Now, line 7. Aparakya buddhi. What is the meaning of aparakya buddhi? In word to word, aparakya buddhi is differentiation. Okay? Prithik. Aparakya means prithik. Prithik, separate. Because the devotees are learned and know that every living entity is part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, they preach Krishna consciousness to everyone. To that, everyone may be happy. So aparakya buddhi means preaching without discrimination to all people. Prabhupada has taken this as a samudrishi. Aparakya buddhi means samudrishi. Okay? Aparakya buddhi means samudrishi. And Prabhupada's mood is why we preach to everybody and give chance everybody to be free from maya. And Prabhupada, when indoor, when somebody asked, why Swamiji you are criticizing mayavadis, the Swami, sadhu should be with a equal vision. Prabhupada said, I have equal vision that I have preached the message of Bhagavad Gita to West and to East and to Indian and to American without differentiation. So this is Prabhupada's realization, what he is writing here. Aparakya buddhi means preaching without discrimination. And we see when the European, African, Russian, American devotees, when they go in market book distribution, they don't discriminate. They give book to everybody, anybody. But if the Indian is going to distribute books, he will know, oh, this is Christian, I should not go. This is Muslim, I should not go. He will just only go to the Hindus. It means he has not realized the mood of Srila Prabhupada. Has not realized the mood of Srila Prabhupada. Aparakya buddhi. You have to go to everybody. Give chance to everybody. That's what Prabhupada is writing here. The devotee should give chance to everybody. Similarly, devotees care for any person who is forgetful of Krishna. And therefore, in the material consciousness, the equal vision of the devotee is that he works to get all living entities back home, back to Godhead. Aparkya Buddhi. What is the meaning of Aparkya Buddhi? Is something you keep. And any verse you have to quote uses Pandita Samdarshana. And then example Prabhupada said, my Samdarshi, my equal vision is that I distributed the message of Godhead without discrimination. Okay? Next verse. The Lord continued, one who does not consider Brahma, Vishnu, Shiva are living entities in general to be separate from me, the Supreme, and also knows Brahma, which means the ultimate Brahma, actually realize peace, others do not. Triyanam ek bhavanam. All three with the same love. Bhav generally we means love. Yo na pashyati vai bhiddam. This bhiddam, Prabhupada will take. Bhiddam means they are separate from me.
Sarva bhutanam brahma. Sa shanti maja adigachyati.
He will get a peace. So Srila Prabhupada's purport is Triyanam indicate three. And Bhiddham indicates different. This is Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva. Prabhupada writes here. And what is Brahma Sahita verse Prabhupada is quoting? Lord Shiva is non-different than Vishnu because his transformation of milk to curd. Okay? And what is the last line, the third line from below? This is called unity in diversity. Achintya Bheda Abheda Tattva, unity in diversity. They are one and they are different. Now, Lord Vishnu's four verses or whatever, five is over. Now Maitreya Rishi is speaking. Said Maitreya said, thus Daksha, the head of the all Prajapatis, having been nicely instructed by Supreme Personality of Godhead, worshipped Lord Vishnu. After worshipping him by performing the prescribed sacrificial ceremonies, thus Daksha separately worshipped Brahma and Shiva. And Srila Prabhupada's purport will be, in Jagannath Puri we have Lord Jagannath and then his prasad is given to all the demigods sitting there. So similarly, most of the temple, there is a outside sitting Hanumanji. So we just do everything for this, say, Sitaram or Radha Krishna, then go to the Hanuman and Garuda, whoever is there, we give prasad. Even today, till now, in Nandagaon, the everything which is offered to Krishna Balaram, it goes to the Lord Shiva Nandeshwar Mahadev. So this is the rule. The Prabhupada saying, this is the way, first you worship Supreme Lord, and then you give the prasad to the higher personality, which are great demigods, and then to the, according to seniority, to everybody. In one kirtan, Prabhupada was doing in town hall, England, and Yamuna Mata was singing Hare Krishna very nicely. All of a sudden, Srila Prabhupada, Brahma Chaturmukhi Gai Hare Krishna Pancha Mukhe Shiva Bole Hare Ram. So the kirtan's, you know, whole rhythm was disturbed for a while and then they restarted again. Anyway, afterwards they asked Prabhupada, why did you say something and what did you say? Prabhupada said, you did not see Lord Shiva and Brahma were dancing in kirtan? He said, they were there in a kirtan. And when the devotees made a nice Vyasasana for Prabhupada in England, then Prabhupada said, oh, who made it? Very nice. Can you make the two more small? Say, what you'll do, Prabhupada? Small. Say, every day for evening aarti, Shiva, Shukra, Narad, they are coming in the aarti. So when they are coming, we should have a small asana empty on the altar for these great personalities. They should sit and relish the aarti of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Shiva, Shukra, Narada, Preme, Gada, Gada. So he said, there must be the seat for these great personalities. They are coming here. So this is This is, you can see this, what Prabhupada has written, he is practically respecting all this. It's not that once Prabhupada was invited to go to the demigod, Devi temple of Durga. So Prabhupada started to going and then devotee said, Prabhupada, you say demigod worship is not good? So she is in charge of this material world, but it's wrong if I go and pay obeisance and pray to her. You come and follow me. As I do, you do. So Prabhupada went there, he offered the prayers from Brahma Santa Vibharti, Duga, Chaya, Anurupa, something, whatever. Then Prabhupada paid obeisance from right side. From right side. And then when devotees asked, he said, demigods is also the energy of the Lord. We are also energy of the Lord. So energy offer obeisance to the higher energy from right side. But to the Vishnu, we offer obeisance from the left side. So this is the rule. You know, sometime, somebody, the Prabhupada was invited in some temple by the local, say, Indian. It was Shiva temple. So Prabhupada is a demigod temple. Shiva is a Param Vaishnava. Why we should not go and give respect to him? Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visited all Shiva temples on the way. He went to Kashi Vishwanath in a Banaras. He went to the Malka Arjun in South India. Whatever temple Shiva came, and he composed the Shiva Astakam, which is still there, glorifying Lord Shiva. But then one devotee said, Srila Prabhupada, they think Shiva is non-different than Krishna, God. Prabhupada said, this is wrong. This is wrong. Their concept is wrong, but we have to give respect to the demigod according to their position. So this is a practical application for some people gave us temple. The temple is already built. There are demigods also there. So just we follow this purpose. We just offer first aarti to the Radha Krishna and then go to the Shiva, then go to the Durga, then Brahma, and then give prasad similarly to all those. There's no problem. So this Jagannath Puri, anybody knows this? I don't know. Deity of Bhagalin is worshipped with the prasad of Vishnu. Who is Bhagalin? I don't know this Bhagalin word. But there is actually there in Jagannath temple, the demigod is there, is called Vimala. Vimala Devi. So maybe this Bhagali is a Vimala Devi. I don't know. Somebody from Odisha can find out what is Bhagali. Bhagali. Okay. Verse 56. With all respect, Daksha worshipped Lord Shiva with the share of the remnants of the yajna. After finishing the ritualistic ceremony, he satisfied all other demigods and the other people assembled there. Then after finishing all these duties with the priest, he took the bath and was fully satisfied. Svena Bhagen, remnants of the yajna are offered to the demigods and others. Okay, this is what we should do, offer prasad to Radha Krishna and distribute to everybody. Next verse. Thus worshipping the Supreme Lord Vishnu by the ritualistic performance of the sacrifice, Daksha was completely situated on the religious path, dharma. Therefore, yajna is considered dharma. Dharma eva matim dhatva. Radhasa, satisfied, huh? Radhasa, having attained perfection, Radhasa. All the demigods who had assembled at the sacrifice blessed him and he might increase his piety, and then they left. When they got their share, and demigods left. Okay? The next, Maitreya said, I have heard that after giving up the body, this Sati, she again born as daughter of Menika and Hemwan. It means Mount Himalaya has a personality, Hemwan. And his wife is Menika. And Parvati was born. And she again married to Lord Shiva. Because she is Menika. So she married back to Lord Shiva. And then Ambika. Goddess Durga was known as Dakshayani, as a Sati before. Again accepted Lord Shiva as her husband. Just as different energies of the Supreme Personality guarded acts during the course of the new creation. So, Well, this is the history. What happened to the Sati? What happened to Sati? She left body and came back as a Durga, daughter of the Himalaya and Manika. Then Prabhupada's purport goes, says eighth line. Durga is the representation of material world, of both the marginal and external energy. Both marginal and external energy, what is the meaning? She herself is a living entity. So she is a marginal energy. And she is acting as external energy also, as a presiding deity of the external energy. She's not external energy, she is the presiding deity of the external energy. So matter is external energy. So matter is a dead matter. So she is presiding deity of the material energy. And she is the shadow of Radharani. Vibhartita Chayana Rupa. She is a shadow. And Shiva is the representation of the Supreme Person, Purusha and Prakriti. So she is Prakriti and Shiva is Purusha. This is the fine distinction. Shiva is not Shakti, Shiva is Purusha. Shiva is not Shakti, Shiva is Purusha, because he is transformation of Vishnu. But the rest all is Shakti. Jivas are Shakti. Devi is Shakti. Okay, now the two verses. Maitreya said, "My dear Vidura, I heard this story." Now he is telling the source of this story. From Uddhava, the disciple of Brihaspati. I heard this story from Uddhava. And then Maitreya is giving benediction. Anybody who hears or repeats this will be free from the Maya. That is the benediction. It's called Shruti Phal. Shruti means hearing, phal means result. So what is the result? The great sage Maitreya concluded, if one hears and again narrates with faith and devotion, this is very important, two words, faith and devotion. If there is no faith and devotion, no result. There was once quote of Srila Prabhupada, if somebody distributed my books, then there was small word, throughout life, he is guaranteed to go to back to Godhead. It looks very simple, but throughout life is very heavy. So there is one word here with devotion and faith. But devotion, so faith means first we believe this. And devotion means we want to preach this. Then we will get the result. And what is the result? This is story of the Daksha Yajna as it was conducted by the Supreme Personality Godhead Vishnu, then suddenly one is cleansed of all contamination of material existence, O son of Kuru, Vidura. Here ends our yesterday's quota. Now we are starting our today's quota. Chapter 8. Dhruva Maharaj leaves home for forest. So beginning four verses are something which is They are the descendant of Brahma himself. And then there is a history of the descendant of Swayambhu Manu. So fourth canto and fifth canto mostly, there is a genealogy of the Swayambhu Manu's two sons. Fourth canto, younger son Uttanapad and Dhruva Maharaj. And fifth canto, elder son Priyavart and Rishabhdev incarnation. So let us start this. So the first six or seven verses. Or till verse 5. Okay, up till verse 5. The names are very... These five verses describe the... Like Brahma has produced Narad, Kumara. Similarly, Brahma has also produced Adharma. irreligiosity. And then there is a parampara of a religion, a dharma parampara. So the four verses describe a dharma parampara. So let us read the first verse.
Maitreya Vacha Sanakadyaha Nardascha Riburhanso Aruner Yatihe Naiti Grahan Brahmsuta Heyavasan Urdhvaritasa.
So Maitreya is saying, Sanakadya means four Kumaras. Then Narada, Sha, and Ribhu, another one, Hansa, Arani, Arunir, and Yati. They have left their Naiti Graha. They don't have a home. This purport Srila Prabhupada is mostly focused on the word Graha. Graha doesn't mean room or building. Graha means family. Family means wife. So Graha means granny. Graha means granny. Granny means wife. So they did not accept wife. They are celibate. All they are celibate. So Prabhupada's focus is Graha means wife. You can live in a room, home, that does not mean this is my home. Home means there must be housewife. No housewife, no home. So now next is, what is their qualification? What they are? Urdhvaretas. The Nashtiki Brahmacharis, they are called Nashtiki. Prabhupada says, Nashtiki Brahmachari is called Urdhvareta. Reta means generating energy. This generating energy normally is used for procreation, for the offsprings. But when somebody is brahmachari, nashtiki, instead of losing the creative energy, he elevate the creative energy higher, higher, higher. Urdh means up. And retas means creative energy. So when it reaches to the brain, then he will be brilliantly intelligent. And then he is shining with a Brahma Tej. All these who were listening Bhagavatam from Suta Goswami, 88,000 rishis were all Urdhvareta. They all Urdhvareta. Above the heavenly planets, Taplok, Janalok, Maharlok, there are only Urdhvaretas there. They are only highly elevated people there. Up to heavenly planet there are homes. Means wife, husband there, yes. Above that, mostly they are Urdhvaretas. So Srila Prabhupada's purport is that system of Brahmacharya was from the beginning of the creation. From the beginning of creation there is a system of Brahmacharya. Because they are all Brahmacharis. And the Brahmacharis are called Naishtiki Brahmacharis are called Urdhvaretas. And the rest of the purport says Graha. Graha means wife, okay? Next verse. Another son of the Brahma was irreligion. Okay? See, on one side there are highly elevated great souls. On the other side, Mrsha Adhramasya, Mrsha Adhramasya Bharya, Adhramasya. So Adharma means irreligiosity, irreligion, is also son of Brahma. Where is Adharma in Supreme Lord? On the back. Adharma is on the back of Supreme Lord. It's also coming from Supreme Lord. If there's not there, how can there be anything which is not in the Supreme Lord? How it can be in the upper? If there's nothing in source, how can there be in a byproduct? So dharma, the illegitimacy, and he married. So adharma married the wife is a mirsha. Mirsha means falsity. Mirsha, which means actually to tell lie, falsity. Mirsha. Adharma means falsity. From their combination, when they married together, born two demons named Dambha. Dambha means bluffing. And Maya means cheating. These two demons were taken by a demon named Niriti, who had no children. So these names are dangerous names actually. Actually these are, well, they are the children of the Brahma. Prabhupada is writing like that. But they are the bad influence in the human society. Srila Prabhupada's purport first is, this is the beginning of the sex life between the brother and sister, which is a religiosity. This is a religiosity start from here, when there is a marriage within the same family. Okay. Then the rest is about the philosophy of karma. How somebody is born again in next life because of his karma. And Narada, because of his good association, become again the elevated soul. Next verse. This is now the parampara of adharma. Maitreya told Vidura, O great soul, from Dambha and Maya were born greed and nirukti, are cunning, and from their combination came children named Krodha, anger, and Hinsa, and from their combination were born Kali, quarrel, and sister Drupti, harsh speech. Said anybody who is having these characteristics, he is a religious person. Anybody who has these type of habits or character in his personality, it means there is irreligiosity there. Because they are irreligion. O greatest of all good men, by the combination of Kali and harsh speech were born children named Mrityu, death, and Bhiti, fear. From the combination of Mrityu and Bhiti came children named Yatna, which means excessive pain, punishment, and Nirya, which means hell. So actually anybody who follows the path of irreligion is going directly to the hell. What are the three doors to the hell? Kama, Krodha, Lobha, Naraka, Dwaram. So this is the whole genealogy of adharma. So maybe a question, what is the parampara of adharma? What is coming from adharma? Adharma, mirsha, dambha, it's like that is whole parampara of adharma. Is okay? Huh.
In the second verse, Rupada has written hinsa and envy.
Because of the envy, we do hinsa. So violence is because of the enviousness. That's what he put the word in. What is the word in the Sanskrit? See, what is the word in the Sanskrit?
Hinsa.
Huh?
Hinsa.
So he has taken the hinsa. Okay, verse 5. My dear Vidur, I have summarily described the causes of devastation. Devastation means destruction. And this adharma is a destruction. One who hears this description three times attains piety and washes the sinful contamination from his soul.
How come?
Because when he hears all this three times, he don't want to do all these things. Because these names are so horrible. I would not be angry. I cannot really have harsh words. So how come that it means it will, like Srila Prabhupada always he was speaking, you are not body, you are soul. Every time you are not American, you are not Indian, you are part and parcel of Krishna. Same thing he was saying again and again, because repetition makes it completely, you know, fixed up in our consciousness. So when we read this three times, we feel they are going to hell. Why should I do this? Going to the temple is free. Dancing is free. Prasad is free. People don't come. Going to the club, you have to pay. For dancing, you have to pay. For eating, you have to pay. So people pay and go to the hell, and free, they don't want to go to Godhead. So this is a problem of the people. Godhead is free, and hell is, you pay and go to the hell. How much you have to try to go to the hell? You have to do all these things to go to the hell. You have to be angry, you have to be harsh, you have to be envious, you have to be cheating, bluffing, then you can only go to hell. So why should we go to hell? How come is if we read it again and again, I don't want it, okay? The creation takes place on the basis of goodness, but devastation takes place because of irreligion. Okay? That is the way of material creation and devastation. Then, say, sixth line, all the descendants are described as signs of devastation. If a person is pious and hears about these causes of devastation, he will feel hatred for them, all of these, and that will cause his advancement in the life of piety. This is your answer. Is okay? And what is piety? Piety refers to the process of cleaning the heart. Okay? Where is this cleaning the heart piety? Which verse? Cheto Darpan Marjan. Why? This is here. Another. Shrinotam Swakatha Krishna Punya. Punya means piety. If we hear Krishna Katha and we chant holy name, this will clean the heart of the from the contamination, clean the heart. Okay? So Jeto Darpan, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Jeto Darpan, okay? Nice. Next. Now there's a starting the next topic. Maitreya continued. O best of the Kuru dynasty, Vidura, I shall now describe before you the descendant of Swayambhu Manu, who was born of the Swayambhu Manu, who is that? Who was born of the part of the plenary expansion of Supreme Personality of Godhead. Lord Brahma is plenary expansion. Lord Brahma, though he is Jiva, but he is empowered as a guna avatar. So that is about it. Because he is born of that Brahma, who is plenary portion. What is the word? See, the word in Sanskrit is Athatah kiryate vansham punya kirtihi kuradva kurudva Swayambhu Swayambhu asyapi manoho harera ansa ansa janmana ansa ansa. There's ansa and there's a kala. Ete chansha kala. So there are some are ansa and some are kala. This is ansa of the ansa. There is some description, what is kala, what is ansa, and how they function. I think it is Rupa Goswami's Laghu Bhagavat Amrit has all these descriptions. So, the Brahma is powerful expansion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Although Brahma is a Jiva Tattva, but is empowered by the Lord. So this is how he is called. The Swayambhu Manu is son of a partial incarnation, okay? Why you are describing the descendant of the Manu? Somebody asked, why you are describing?
because they are Punya Kirti. Punya Kirti. In the Maragadi verse, the word is Punya Kirti. And Srila Prabhupada is riding down because Dhruva Maharaj, before speaking these pious descendant, they are widely celebrated as pious, their pious activities. Next verse. Swayambhu Manu has two sons, we know this, Satrupa, and we know all this story. Okay? So in the line of Dhruva Maharaj, the incarnation is Prithu. In the line of Priyamart, the incarnation is Rishabhdev. So both lines have incarnations. So in the line of Dhruva is Prithu Maharaj. In the line of Priyavart is Rishabhdev. Next. King Uttanapad, we know this. King Uttanapad has two wives, Suruchi and Suniti. And they have two sons. Suruchi's son's name was Uttam. And Suniti's son's name was Dhurva. The younger was Suruchi. And king was very much affectionate and in love with Suruchi. And he was not caring for Suniti, elder wife. Suruchi means whatever you like to do. Suniti means follow the rules and regulations. So whatever you want to do, you can get Uttam, which is temporary. If you follow the rules and regulations, you will get Dhruva, which means permanent. Dhruva means permanent. Dhruva means non-shakeable, permanent. And Suniti means one who is following the code of religion. Niti. Why you want to describe this descendant of the Manu? In this verse, go to the last line. The example of Dhruva Maharaj's austerity can immediately generate a feeling of devotional service in the heart of the hearer. Why you want to describe this? Because Dhruva Maharaj's determination, his determination to see Supreme Lord, though Dhruva Maharaj is artha-arthi devotee. He is not going to see Lord for devotional service. He went to see Lord for kingdom higher than his father or grandfather. But his determination as a young boy was so glorious. That Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in a Totokava Gopinath used to hear from Gadadhar Pandit Bhagavatam, and hundreds of times he heard the story of Dhruva Maharaj and Prahlad Maharaj. And we are now not able, it's okay, we know Uttanapad as Suniti and Suruchi. No. Hundred times he heard this story. Why? He said the determination of Dhruva and tolerance of the Prahlad are the, if we get a drop of that, our devotional service will be perfect. Determination of Dhruva and tolerance of Prahlad are the foundational block for devotional service. So why I want to describe the Dhruva Maharaj? Because if you hear about him and in your heart you feel, oh, I must do this. And actually, it's practically speaking, when we were small children, when we were reading, somebody was telling about Dhruva Maharaj, he was standing on one leg. He's a 5-6-year-old boy, I remember. We used to stand on one leg like Dhruva Maharaj was like this. So just hearing that, it inspired you to do this. I mean, I just when I read this, I recalled, and we're chanting, oh no, Bhagavati Vasudevaya. Yeah. It's a childhood time.
standing, and then they were just making joke, how long you will stay? Half hour, 1 hour. Dhruva was for 6 months. So when you hear similarly the history of Abhimanyu, the son of Arjun, how he was fighting with 6 Maharathi, the 6 great, then you feel, oh yes, young age we should be brave, and then we should follow all the rules and regulation. This was the mood in olden days when we used to hear all these stories. Brahmacharya, yes, we have to be brahmachari, we should do all this. So this was the conscious. Now it is no more, and it's not available anymore. The children are not getting this. Prabhupada, why Prabhupada has written all this? Because he has the experience of his own. After, so there's a difference of 50 years gap, but 50 years back, this was the, even as a child, imitating Krishna, they used to make something like a grinding mortar, then a rope in a grinding mortar, and the rope at the waist, and then you have to go like this, and it is moving behind you. This was a play of a childhood play. In a village, this was a childhood play. Because hearing Krishna Katha, they're just imitating that. This is a remembrance of Krishna. So these are the devotees and Krishna. It's called Ishanu Katha. Isha means Krishna, and Anu means his follower devotees. If we follow this Ishanu Katha, then heart will be purified from all contamination quickly. And then we can relish the devotional service. So this is the mood of Srila Prabhupada in this purport. Next verse. Once upon a time, King Uttanapada was petting his son, Uttam, a son of Suruchi. Dhruva Maharaj also wanted to climb up. That's all right, it's natural. Now what happened in the next verse? While child Dhruva Maharaj was trying to get on the lap of his father, Suruchi, the stepmother became very envious of the child. And with a great pride, she began to speak so as to be heard by the king himself. Well, the king wanted the other child to be on the lap because it is his own son, but stepmother, and then Prabhupada's one line is, this is the nature of woman. Okay? You this get from the first page and go to the next page, nature of the woman. What is the nature? If woman understands that her husband regards her as a favorite and is specially affectionate to her, she takes undue advantage. Hare Krishna. Alright? Meditate on this statement of Prabhupada. Yes. And this thing is happening in a higher, you know, this, in the time of Swayambhu Manu, this was there. Anybody has any other example like this? Kekai. Kekai got undue advantage from Dasarath and gave banished to the, okay. In Bhagavatam? Well, once Diti served so nicely Kashyap that he was actually said, what you want? And he said, I want a son to kill Indra. So she took undue advantage. He said, oh, she is actually, I'm fool. Why I become a playing bird in the ants? So these are the few examples like that. So this nature is even from the beginning. Okay? So what Prabhupada writes? Those symptoms are visible even in such an elevated society as family of Swayambhu Manu. But to speak of our next verse says, what Queen Suruchi said to Dhruva Maharaj, my dear child, you do not deserve to sit on the throne. Actually, lap means, common sense is that son of elder wife is going to be the next king. So what actually she is thinking, you cannot be the next king.
climbing on the left was not a main thing. The main thing was you cannot inherit your father's kingdom. Okay? Surely you are also a son, but because you did not take your birth from my womb, you are not qualified to sit on your father's lap. Okay? Next. My dear child, you are unaware that you were born not of my womb but of another woman. Therefore, you should know that your attempt to be doomed to failure. You are trying to fulfill a desire which is impossible to fulfill. So Srila Prabhupada, what she is saying? Prabhupada is writing in one line. This is another statement of Queen Suruchi's pride. Okay? Now, what she is saying is the greatest offense. This statement is offensive. Till this time is okay. This is a natural human nature of a woman. Okay. Now what she is saying? If you at all desire to rise to the throne of king, then you have to undergo severe austerities. First of all, you must satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayan. And then when you are favored by him because of such worship, you shall have to take next birth from my womb. Why it is offensive? Why is it offensive?
Because even after worshipping Narayan, that is not sufficient. Still you have to take birth from my womb.
It means once who worship, why should he take another birth? But there is no need for birth. It means he is belittling the worship of the Supreme Lord. After pleasing Vishnu, Narayan, still you take birth. It means it is the, she is belittling the power of Lord Vishnu's worship. And second thing which Srila Prabhupada said is she wanted Dhruva to die. It means she was thinking, let him die. If he is alive, he will naturally will be the next king. To let him die, what it means actually. So materially she is thinking, let him die. But she is doing offense to the devotion to the Lord Narayan. Okay? So, first of all, he had to die. Prabhupada said, he has to die. Next verse. Maitreya is speaking. My dear Vidro, what happened to Dhruva Maharaj after that? When she said like that, so now Suruchi stopped and Dhruva did not stop speaking. So Maitreya is saying, what now seen there? A snake, when struck by a stick, breathes very heavily. Dhruva Maharaj, having been struck by the strong words of the stepmother, began to breathe very heavily because of great anger. When he saw that his father was silent, he did not protest. He immediately left the palace and went to his mother. This child can do this. He cry, become angry and cannot do anything, and he left. The important part is father did not say anything. He did not protest. Any such other example where father did not protest? Dhritarashtra, yes. When Duryodhan was humiliating and defaming and disrespecting Vidura, the minister, Dhritarashtra was silent. Dhritarashtra was silent. Yes. This is another example. You can find other example, but this is one which very good. Okay, what is the next? Still, Maitreya Rishi is speaking. When Dhruva Maharaj reached his mother, his lips were trembling in anger And he was crying very grievously, Queen Suniti immediately lifted the son unto her lap, 5-year-old. While the palace residents who had heard of all the harsh words of Suruchi related everything in detail. Thus Suniti also became greatly aggrieved. So Dhruva did not complain. Okay? He did not complain. He was simply crying as a child. But the other palace, you know, working ladies there, they explained what happened in the palace. So she heard from some witness. Sometimes child can say on his own something. He said, but it is some witness is saying. Yeah, said, this is a very technical thing there. It's not that it's because of child she was, you know, we can take sometimes child says something about somebody and we take it seriously. No, somebody else is also saying. It's not only child. Next verse. This incident was unbearable to Suniti's patience. She cannot really tolerate this. It's too much. Because she was already feeling pain. Why she was feeling pain already? Because she was not respected. She was kept as like, you know, like a servant even. She will tell like that. But on the top of that, now his son was also mistreated. You know, she can tolerate her own, but now her son is also mistreated. So it's a double thing. Is a double grievance. She began to burn as if the forest fire, and in her grief she became just like a burnt leaf, and so lamented. As she remembered the words of her co-wife, her bright lotus-like face filled with tears, and thus she spoke. So Srila Prabhupada, just this purpose is normal. Now we have to go to till verse 23, but I think it's nothing. This there's not much purpose in these verses. We can do Gayatri and then continue afterwards. Okay. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. 12:15.